Elijah Moore has been traded. Who are the winners? Who are the losers? We're talking all that and more on today's Locked On Dynasty.
You are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Thanks for making Locked On Dynasty your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your own football franchise? If so, this is the game for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look for it in your app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's all caps, locked on in the game. Welcome to the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. Follow me on Twitter at RyanMC23. Joining me, as always, is Matt Williamson. Find Matt on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Matt, how are you on this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm quite well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Also, we've been talking a lot about the scheduling of the show over the past couple of weeks. Yeah. It has certainly been a hot topic for us as we figure out how to best react to all the news that is going on. We decided to wait on this Wednesday show a little bit, and I'm glad we did because we had some pretty big news today, and it all involves the New York Jets. So let's get to it. The Jets start their day by bringing in Mecole Hardman. Haven't actually seen the terms on that one yet.
No, me neither.
But, you know, before free agency started, there were rumors that that Hardman was maybe more coveted than expected by teams, that he would be a hot commodity. And I mean, that just kind of seems not to be the case, as he lasted more than a week on the open market before getting this deal. But I mean, the Jets and specifically their wide receiver core has been a hot topic the past week or so. And of course that's because of Aaron Rodgers and what we think is an impending trade, his wish list. So there's been lots of talk on this show, on every show and every platform, about who Aaron Rodgers will potentially be throwing the ball to. So if he does land with the Jets, he's going to be throwing to Mecole Hardman. Let's start with that one. That's the smaller news piece. But do you like the Hardman fit with the Jets?
I've never been a Hardman fan. I mean, right. I think he's always been a tease. I mean, he had some unfair analysis of, you know, when he got drafted, he's going to be their next Tyreek Hill. Of course he isn't. Nobody is. But, I mean, that was unfair to begin with. At that point, they were in big contract negotiations with Tyreek, from what I remember. But this past year or so, he's had a lot of opportunity to seize target share with the Chiefs, which is a great situation. And he just hasn't done it. So I don't think he's as scary as his speed indicates. I think he's a worthwhile player that might make those around him a little bit better. You know, Wilson, Hall, Rodgers, presumably. But he's never been for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think that the Jets necessarily have anyone like Hardman on their roster right now. We'll talk about how he fits in on that depth chart. So I guess it could be a good thing. I am assuming the numbers on the contract are, pretty low, honestly, again, given that Hardman did have to wait. So I think it's fine. But from a fantasy standpoint, I don't know that he gains much value. I mean, Mecole Hardman was looking at an ADP of wide receiver 89. Yeah, I mean, maybe he gets a little bump with this fresh start, maybe. But he's really just
play with Pat Mahomes guy.
yeah, true.
Yeah, he's had a pretty good situation. He hasn't taken advantage of it.
We talked about this with Juju Smith-Schuster, right?
I mean, right.
Juju's with Mahomes. He's in the best offense in the league, one of them at least. And if he couldn't blow up in that situation, then what's he going to do with the Patriots, right? So it's kind of the same, kind of the same thing with Hardman.
Great call.
With that signing, though, that adds Mecole Hardman to a depth chart at the time that included Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, recently signed, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, who we think might be gone, but still hanging around now. And, you know, you start looking at all those names and you think the Jets have to do something else. This is too many bodies here. And they did something else. They trade Elijah Moore and a third rounder that was the 74th overall pick to the Cleveland Browns for the 42nd overall pick. So Jets get 42, and the Browns get Elijah Moore and 74. Let's stick with the Jets for now, Matt, before we move over to Cleveland. So now the Jets have Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, presumably now their number two, which is the role that he's had most of his career. They've got Mecole Hardman as that deep guy. They still have Corey Davis for now. Again, we think he could potentially be gone, cut, or traded. And they've got a couple tight ends, Uzoma and Conklin, that they signed last year. We're still assuming the Rodgers deal gets done. What do you think of this depth chart right now for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, my mind's been spinning here because this happened like 1 minute ago before we hit record. Yeah. And I'm going to take the dynasty aspect out of it just for a minute. And maybe that's right, maybe I'm wrong. And maybe people listen to this and say, wow, Williamson's a prophet, or Williamson, no clue what he's talking about. But I'm sitting here thinking that maybe getting 42 overall is a key component to landing Rodgers, because from what I understand, a big sticking point in the Rodgers trade is the Jets don't want to give up their first. They want to give up a second and conditional picks. Well, maybe Green Bay says, get us two twos this year and a conditional next year, and we'll get it done. Or two twos and Corey Davis. I mean, Corey Davis could be useful for the Packers. So maybe a lot of this is just to make the next step, the giant step that we've all been waiting for, work for both squads. Hey, give me a couple days. I'll get you another second. And we'll move Elijah to do it and sign Mecole. And now you have a very Rodgers-friendly guy in Lazard. He's very different than Hardman. And Wilson's the clear one. I mean, I'm just trying to think what the logic behind all this is. And in the end, I bet the logic is, how can we get this Rodgers deal done?
Yeah, very, very fair. And I think a pretty good look at what the Jets might be thinking. Just talking about their picks, they do have the 13th overall pick. You understand why they would be hesitant to move that as part of the Aaron Rodgers trade. They do now have the 42, which they got from Cleveland, and they have the 43. So back-to-back picks in the top third or so of the second round. They've got 42 and 43. They don't have another pick in the second round after those two. They do have the 74 overall pick, which is their own.
Not anymore. They traded that for, that was part of the Moore trade.
I'm sorry. You're right. That's part of the deal. So Cleveland now has that. And the Jets don't have another pick there in the rest of the third round. So they would, if they end up moving both of these picks in a Rodgers deal, they would have no second rounder, no third rounder, and wouldn't pick again until 112 overall.
But they would keep their one.
But yeah.
They presumably. Would I don't know what their trade their talks are. That's just my guess.
I guess I was a little surprised. I did kind of expect Elijah Moore to be traded, and I think a lot of people did. But I thought he might be part of that Aaron Rodgers trade.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it was Elijah Moore and 43, that second rounder. Maybe that wasn't enough for Green Bay. Maybe Green Bay prefers the 42 pick over Elijah Moore, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I still think maybe Corey Davis is part of the deal. I would think he still has some attraction. There's some reason they've been holding on to Davis. I've been thinking for days he's going to get cut. And he hasn't. There must be some market for him, or Green Bay has an interest. I mean, again, I'm guessing.
We're spitballing here a little bit.
Yeah, of course. It just happened.
And the expectation before this trade was that Garrett Wilson was going to dominate targets from Aaron Rodgers. I think that's even, you know, that's even more likely now, given this depth chart. Matt, we've still got a lot to talk about here. We want to talk about the Cleveland Browns. What this does for Elijah Moore's value. He's kind of the main character in this trade. We'll do all that and more right after this.
The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. I use it all the time. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. You can build your favorite NBA's bets for the week. You know, I mean, rebounds, assists, player points, spread, money line, totals, of course, all those things. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Matt, we've talked about this trade. The trade is Elijah Moore and a third rounder for a second rounder. Elijah Moore going to Cleveland. We've talked about it from the Jets' perspective. We are still assuming they land Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. That offense looks like Aaron Rodgers with an asterisk right now. Breece Hall, Michael Carter, Zonovan Knight, wide receivers, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Mecole Hardman, Corey Davis for now. Maybe that's Randall Cobb. Maybe it's even Odell Beckham still added to the fold. We'll see what the Rodgers wish list looks like. I'm surprised Mecole Hardman was on the Rodgers wish list, honestly, if he in fact was.
Mm-hmm. Let's you agree move over. Davis probably won't be part of the mix.
I do, yeah. Whether it's part of that trade or
whatever, it goes somewhere else or gets cut or whatever.
I think
he's
gone. They can save quite a bit of money by moving on from him. Still, let's talk about the Browns though, because this was a move they really needed. You know, they were wide receiver needy this time last year. They trade a fifth rounder for Amari Cooper. Now they trade the second rounder for Elijah Moore, get the third rounder back as well, and that offense is looking a lot more interesting all of a sudden. Yeah. Deshaun Watson at quarterback obviously struggled in his first half season or so back in the league after nearly 2 years out of the league. Nick Chubb obviously at running back, and now you've got Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, plus Donovan Peoples-Jones at wide receiver, David Njoku at tight end. Matt, I love this for the Browns.
I really do, too. I think it's a great for Watson. I think it's really good for Moore, who we probably should open the show about this. I mean, you and I have been Elijah Moore guys up and down. I own him everywhere. I mean, I didn't want to quit him, suffered through a tough year. Frankly, just to pull back the curtain, as soon as I saw this, I'm like, damn, why didn't my Steelers make this exact same trade for him? You know, like, I'd really like Elijah Moore. One note I want to make sure I get out there, because I think it was Matthew Berry. I'm like 95% sure. He writes a great article right after the combine.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. Yeah, It was Berry. Go on, though. Yeah.
He said, you know, 35 things I learned at the combine or whatever it was. And he said something along the lines of, the Browns offense is changing, folks. It's not going to be Chubb and Hunt in a cloud of dust behind a really good offensive line. It's going to be Watson in the gun, spreading it around, throwing the football. So this might be a better landing spot in terms of pass attempts per game than many of you think. And if he's the number two option, and Amari Cooper's not the scariest number one, and hey, I like Njoku and People Jones too, but he's different than all those guys. I mean, I think he could thrive here.
I absolutely do as well. Yeah. And I mean, you don't necessarily look at Cleveland and think that's really an upgrade for my, my player that I'm pulling for. But in this case, not only because of the off the field dynamic. And I mean, we've heard reports really over the past few weeks, past couple months about how bad things were for Elijah Moore in that Jets locker room and how frustrated he was. And I mean, who knows how much of that was on Moore versus how much it was on the coaching staff or leadership there. But ultimately, we're getting what we wanted here, which is a fresh start for Elijah Moore, a chance to be, probably not the number one option, but an option, which really he wasn't even an option for the Jets for most of the year. He's going to have a role in this Browns offense, a significant role, and I think his value is going to go up quite a bit, honestly. Checking his current ADP, we are at, let's see, wide receiver 48 was Elijah Moore. That's from our March ADP. So when you think about Elijah Moore, we think he's going to gain value. We like the landing spot. How much higher can he go here, Matt?
Quick nugget, and I don't know this for a fact, but I assume he will be on the field when they're in two receiver sets, although I think there'll be a lot more three receiver sets. He can play outside. He's not just a slot.
Yeah.
Are you looking at the Dynasty ADP for all receivers?
I've got it here in front of me.
Who's 30?
30 is Hollywood Brown.
I think they were in the neighborhood.
Wow. Okay. There's, man, I don't do this as much as I should, but just kind of scanning some of these names, you realize how deep the wide receiver position really is. I mean, wide receiver 41 is Mike Evans. 42 is Keenan Allen. 47, right above Elijah Moore here, is Tyler Lockett. And obviously those guys have some age on them, but if you're looking
for Amari Cooper, his new teammate.
Good point. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 34.
Okay. I mean, I get the age thing with all those guys. And if we were lining up today to play fantasy football, it's Sunday morning, you can't check the box that you can start Elijah Moore and you can start all those other guys. I just still adore the player.
Yeah, I guess my instant reaction was big value gain for Elijah Moore. Love the spot. Basically everything we've said here. But now that I'm looking at some of these names, well, Cortland Sutton's ahead of him. I would already prefer Moore to Sutton. Gabe Davis is ahead of him. I'll take Moore. Kadarius Toney is wide receiver 43. I'll take Moore over Toney. Maybe you might disagree on that one, but
no.
I don't know if he's going to jump 20 spots, right? He might jump 5 or 6 or 8 spots.
So funny, because I think it was our last one of the podcasts this week that kind of run together. We were talking about Rashad Penny. Well, he can jump 20 spots, but receivers can't. You know what I mean? There's just too many good ones.
Such a deep position. Donovan Peoples-Jones, by the way, is wide receiver 56. I don't think this hurts him all that much. Maybe he falls a little bit just based on target volume, but he'll be fine. He's that third option in an NFL offense anyway, and not a guy we're ready to start each week. Matt, did you have something else?
I was going to say, I mean, we were talking a little bit about, C.J. Stroud versus guys like Tua and Watson. Yeah. I think this helps Watson a little bit. I mean, I think it just indicates what Matthew Berry kind of reported, that they're going to throw the ball more. He needs to do it better, but they're going to throw the ball more.
Yeah, very good point. Looking at that quarterback ADP, I do think there's been a little drop-off in value, maybe even a significant drop-off in value for Watson. He is still the quarterback 10, but we kind of see the top 8 guys and then a gap. For example, Justin Fields is quarterback 8. His ADP is 61 overall. You drop 27 spots to get to quarterback 9. That's Kyler Murray. And then Watson is close behind him at 91. So you see a 30-spot gap between Fields at QB 8 and Watson at QB 10. I think you're right. We could see that that margin narrow quite a bit. And Watson be one of the big winners here, not only because of this specific trade, but maybe the whole path of the offense that Matthew was talking about that you're talking about here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to look at some more ADP. We're looking at some rookie ADP, or actually where our rookies are falling in startup ADP, and comparing some rookies to veterans. We'll wrap up the show with that right after this break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. You've heard me talk about this mobile game app, and if you've ever thought you'd make a good GM as I did my whole life growing up, yeah, you got to give this game a try. It's not as easy as you might think to create a dynasty, but when you play Ultimate Football GM, you get to control and manage every strategic aspect of your team as you play through seasons and lead your team to glory trying to build a historic dynasty. I told you before, I mean, it's probably no secret that I grew up just thinking GM, not coach, not player. I wanted to build teams, and I would have loved this, especially as I was a kid. And it's pretty cool now at my age, to be honest with you. So with Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, it gets that in depth, managing all the finances, including negotiating player salaries and terms, navigating your franchise through free agency, the draft, injuries, player personnel issues, and all the ups and downs of a season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline, play on the go, as you want and when you want. So Locked On Dynasty listeners get a free 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On, all caps, in the game store. That's Locked On, all caps. So make sure to check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today.
Thanks for making Locked On Dynasty your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes. From free agency to the draft, salary cap management, and more, join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. Find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Matt, as I said, I want to look at some brand new ADP. This is from Dynasty League Football. This is Superflex Startup ADP and where the rookies are fitting in to that ADP. You know, this time of year, pretty much every year, rookie fever overtakes dynasty players. I've been guilty of it, Matt. I know you have been guilty of it. Of course. It catches us all at least once or twice. So I kind of wanted to take your temperature here on, is this realistic and understandable value, or is this a case of rookie fever? So again, this is Superflex ADP. Lots of quarterbacks here. A lot of times we do look at one quarterback ADP. We're going to see a ton of quarterbacks go early and often in this data. We've got Bijan Robinson. He is the first rookie off the board still. He is the RB1, just like in some of the other data we've talked about. But instead of being a top five guy, he's down at 9 overall. So still a first rounder, actually going above Ja'Marr Chase here in this format. Is this rookie fever, or is this understandable in your opinion?
Understandable, but I mean, anyone that's tried to do a mock draft or looking at mock drafts, it's hard to find a landing spot for Bijan. That goes without saying. But it makes me worry that some team with a good back is going to take him, and we're going to go, ah, that's a bummer. You know, just because he's too good to pass up in 25 overall in the first round, when he should have gone 10, you know, that's my only concern.
Well, our buddy, Daniel Jeremiah released his latest mock draft. I believe that was on Monday. And he projected Bijan Robinson to go 14 overall to the New England Patriots. And that sent dynasty players.
I hated it. Yeah,
that sent dynasty players, running with fear that Bijan could be paired with Ramondre Stevenson. You know, it certainly hurts Stevenson's value. It doesn't do anything good for Bijan's value either. That would be horrendous. just about worst case, honestly. I mean, Jeremiah has shown obviously over the years to have a great track record and some good sources. I hope he's just guessing on this one, because if he's right, it ruins all the fun.
And I don't condone it. I wouldn't be appreciative from an NFL standpoint for the Patriots. They need so many things. Ramondre is like their best player.
Yeah, Yeah. But I don't think it makes sense for them either. Yeah. Like I said, I hope he's wrong on that one. We've got quite a while. Let's see. So that was Bijan 9 overall in that Superflex ADP. I'm not taking him over Jamar Chase, by the way. You look at some of the quarterbacks going behind him, Justin Fields, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson. I'm taking those quarterbacks above Bijan as well. So I think he's a little too high here. Rookie fever maybe kicked in on that one, in my opinion. Next rookie off the board is Bryce Young, 23 overall. So we're talking late second round. He is the quarterback 13. I was a little surprised he's behind Tua, who went 17 overall. But you got Bryce Young, quarterback 13, 23 overall. Rookie fever, or is this a good pick for you?
I'm going to jump ahead a little and just lump Stroud and Young together.
Fine.
And we did talk about that, I think, on our last show. I think both are going to have rough rookie years. You know, I mean, they're going to have to withstand a lot of bad stuff.
I think we have to assume that. At this
right.
point.
And it feels like you're just buying high a little bit. Like, in week 8, I bet they're not the 23rd and 36th player off the board when things are struggling, you know.
Yeah. CJ Stroud is the next rookie drafted, 36 overall. So Bryce Young, a late second rounder. CJ Stroud, a late third rounder. I mean, we've talked about it. I've said it. I'm not sure where you are on this, but I prefer Stroud to Young.
Me too. Me too.
So if that's my, if I'm choosing between those two, obviously I would prefer to wait on Stroud. Mm-hmm. Trey Lance also down there in that CJ Stroud range of the late third. Chris Olave is down there as well. T. Higgins, DK Metcalf. I'm probably taking some of those wide receivers over the rookie quarterback also. So yeah. I think the late
they're
third
both
is
a little too hyped. Yeah.
Yeah, they might be. Well, I think they are at least compared to the other players available. But in general, looking at this data set, I think the quarterbacks are going too high overall. Daniel Jones, 33 overall. I'd rather have Stroud than Jones.
Yes.
Garrett Wilson is 28 overall. Just a value. Yeah, maybe the quarterbacks overall are going too high. Let's get a couple more in here before we wrap up. Okay. Move off the quarterback position. JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigbo, wide receiver 16 in this ADP, 45 overall. For reference, Matt, he's going right behind Stephon Diggs, Devontae Smith, just above a couple of Raiders, Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams. Does that feel about right for JSN?
Yes, I'm smitten with the guy. I love him. Apparently, he ran a pretty good 40 on that fast Ohio State track today. I think he's a 100 catch a year type of player.
Totally agree. I think this is a good spot to value him in. If he's behind Devontae Smith right now, I'm pretty comfortable with that. And he is also behind Kupp and Diggs. You could definitely make an argument he should go ahead of those veterans, given what we know right now. Anthony Richardson, this is really the guy I wanted to get to. Is quarterback 19 here, Matt? We've talked about the concerns with Richardson, and I get all of that. I've got some of those concerns myself, but quarterback 19.
This is nuts.
Behind Kirk Cousins, behind Daniel Jones and Russell Wilson, he's probably 10 spots at least too low, right?
I would take him over Young and Stroud. I'd take him over Tua. I mean, he's built for fantasy wonderfulness. I mean, I'm not saying he's a better football player, or he's going to get drafted in the top 4 to 6. I mean, he's going to see the field. I mean, even if he's stuck behind Jimmy or Minshew for the better part of the year, he doesn't even have to be good at football to be an every week starter for fantasy.
Well, what about this? Trey Lance is quarterback 15 at 35 overall. And I love Trey Lance. I love him as a prospect. I still believe in Trey Lance.
Me too.
But we've got some similar questions about Lance and Richardson at this point. And Richardson is going 13 picks lower, basically a full round plus lower than Trey Lance. So
I'm buying Richardson.
Richardson is the big value based on this ADP. I don't know. You know, I don't think if you're doing a dynasty startup, a Superflex startup right now, I don't think you're going to see Richardson falling to 48 overall in very many of those drafts. I think this specific ADP might not be a great representation of his value. Bump him up 10, 15, 20 picks. Yeah.
Yes.
Basically, wherever Young and Stroud are going, lump Richardson in that same range. Expect him to go there. And if you want him, you're going to have to reach for him. You're going to have to take him earlier than you might expect.
I mean, everyone knows the fantasy quarterback cheap code, and he's might be the best. I mean, he could easily do what Justin Fields does in week one. I mean, Fields didn't complete many passes or throw well. I mean, Richardson could do the exact same thing.
Yeah, and I have heard that as well, that we have to wait on him. He has to sit for a year. I don't know that he does. I think we could see him right away. Obviously, it depends on where he lands. But I'm not assuming he's going to sit out the full year or anything like that.
Mm-mm, me neither.
That will do it for today's show. Please make sure you download and subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Remember to follow the show at Locked On Dynasty. Follow Matt at Williamson NFL. And I'm Ryan MC23. We'll be back next time with more Locked On Dynasty.